Let's read a verse in Matthew 17, verse 5. Partway through the verse. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. Hear him." That was the text on the calendar this morning. And I was just impressed with the simplicity of it. What God had to say about Jesus, and what he has to say to the disciples and through them to us. God said, "My beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, is the one who's pleased me and he's found his delight in him." And then he added two words, "Hear him." And it's those words that I really want to focus on tonight. Have you and I heard Jesus speaking to us? And what words should I speak about? The Apostle John, right at the end of his Gospel, said, if everything that Jesus said and did was recorded in the books, didn't think the books of the world would be able to contain them all. So what words can I speak about that Jesus said that I want you to hear? When Peter found himself in the presence of the Lord and heard him speak, he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He felt his unfitness. He felt his distance from all that was pleasing to God. And yet Jesus didn't turn him away. Elsewhere they spoke about how Jesus spoke with authority and not as the scribes. Elsewhere they commented on how the words he spoke were of spirit and truth. But I thought I would just focus your attention, dear friends, brethren, on the words the Lord spoke when he was on the cross. The Gospel writers tell us about seven things that the Lord said when he was on the cross. And it says that Pilate allowed them to take Jesus outside Jerusalem with his cross. And there at Golgotha they crucified the Lord of glory there. They nailed Jesus to the cross. And what was the first thing that the Lord Jesus said? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus said he didn't come to condemn, but he came to save those that were needed a physician. He came to make them well. And even at the time when they were crucifying him wrongly, because this man had done nothing amiss, crucifying him, nevertheless, Jesus didn't rail against them. He didn't say anything against them. But rather he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Such was the love of the Saviour who went to the cross for me. And dear friends, went to the cross for you too, I trust. We should have been condemned. We should have come up to God's judgment. And unless we, under the shelter of precious blood of the Lord Jesus, we will be condemned and we will come under judgment. But Jesus went that way at the cross that we might not, that we might go free, that we might have our sins forgiven, that we might have peace with God. And Jesus, those wonderful words, he didn't condemn them, even those people that were crucifying him physically at the time. But I need to recognise that it's my sins that put Jesus there. I had my part in the crucifixion of the Lord, but Jesus isn't condemning me. When he came the first time, it was not to judge, but it was to make the way of salvation. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You think of the extraordinary thing, even in men's affairs, when someone who'd done nothing wrong, someone who'd done many wonderful things, one who'd done many miracles which showed that God was with him, was taken and condemned for having done nothing wrong and crucified. Extraordinary thing. But Jesus allowed men to do that to him, to take him away and crucify him. And yet his words were still, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There they were taking the very Creator and nailing him to a cross. They didn't want him. Away with this man, we will not have him to reign over us. But Jesus' love is towards you and towards me. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And even in the distress and agony that as a man the Lord would have suffered, he saw his mother there at the side of the cross. Think of all that she as a mother would have gone through, thinking of a son being crucified wrongly and falsely and brutally. Think of what she went through, all the memories that she had, of what he had done, even his birth. She would have carried those memories. The life that she'd seen when he was in the home over that 30 years. And then the public service. And here he was, the one who she'd been told was called Jesus, for he should save his people from their sins. And yet here he was being crucified. And Jesus' love is so great that he was not thinking of himself. Rather, he thought of his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing there. And what did he say? He said, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he says unto the disciple, "Behold thy mother." He was concerned about the one who was his earthly mother. He was concerned about the disciple. His love ran very deep. It couldn't run deeper. And the Lord's love for you, dear friends, couldn't run any deeper. He went to the cross that you and I might go free. The Lord had been with the disciples had been with his mother, of course, all his life, and he cared for them. And there they were in great distress, not understanding really what was happening, why he had gone that way, why men had done these things to him. When he'd gone about healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, making the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, calming the winds and the waves, feeding the 5,000, all these wonderful things Jesus had done. And there he was, nailed to a cross, suffering. And the Lord felt what those that loved him were going through. And there were two robbers nailed to crosses either side of him. And it says that they made comments about the Lord. Then we learn something else that the Lord said. When that robber, who obviously saw something in the Lord Jesus, which was different, completely different to anyone else he'd ever seen, he says, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And what does Jesus say? Fourth verse said, "Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Again, the Lord was not condemning. That man was clearly a sinner. He'd clearly done things wrong. We might think that our wrongdoings and our sins are hidden. Well, they may be hidden to others, but God can see them. But this man, he was clearly being condemned for being a robber. And yet Jesus didn't condemn him. He made a wonderful promise to him. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That robber, he could do nothing to help himself. His last hours had come. And yet he found hope in that one that was nailed to the cross next to him. One who had a message of hope and of blessing. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The wonderful thing for that man to know that although he couldn't do anything to make up for his past, couldn't do anything to atone for his sins, Jesus made a wonderful promise to him that today he will be with him in paradise. Words of Jesus not to condemn, words of comfort for his mother and the disciple, those that loved him, and then a wonderful word to this robber, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And Jesus remained there upon the cross. He didn't call on 12 legions of angels to set him free. Of course, he could have spoken a word, but Jesus remained there. Such was his love for you and me. Hebrew bondman tells us in the Old Testament, "I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go free." Jesus could have gone free. He didn't have to remain there. He'd done nothing wrong. God was perfectly pleased with him. "This is my beloved son, in whom I have found my delight." But Jesus remained there because he was not going to go free. He wanted us to be free. And then we get those words. "And darkness came over the whole land, and Jesus cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which being interpreted means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This was the crux of Jesus being on the cross. To be the sin bearer. To bear my sins and to deal with the sin question, things that present us to enjoying God's presence. Think of what Jesus suffered there in those hours of darkness when God laid that judgment upon his head. Judgment for my sins and your sins. Judgment for sin, the very concept of opposition to God. It all had to be dealt with, and Jesus, in those hours of darkness, bore that judgment. And exhausted it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Think of the loneliness, how Jesus felt that distance from God. one whom he kept company with, one whom he'd not moved without getting the Father's direction. There he was on the cross, made that very thing that was so abhorrent to him. He delighted in the Father's will. He delighted in being obedient, and Jesus was made that very thing that he hated. And he had to go that way because there was no other way that you and I could have our sins forgiven. Jesus was abandoned there, and everything was poured, all that judgment, the wrath of God was poured out on his blessed head, that you and I might go free. It should affect us, those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then John tells us that Jesus, knowing as all things were now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says, I thirst. Think of the sufferings of the Lord on your account and on my account. I thirst. The Lord was the one that thirsted after righteousness, thirsted after the Father's word, and then he'd been brought under judgment and suffered there on the cross for you and for me. There was nothing to comfort the Lord. And the psalmist had told him, Psalm 69, I think it is, that says, they gave me vinegar to drink. There was no comfort there. If the Lord had taken this, it merely prolonged life in the agony. But Jesus was concerned to do everything that the Father had said, to fulfil all the scriptures concerning himself. And as the psalmist had recorded, he would say, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. The world can't satisfy you, dear friends, can't give you life eternal, can't cleanse you from your sins. It speaks about the temporary pleasures of sin, but it can't deal with the real important questions of life. Why am I here? And am I right with God? And how am I to be made right with God? And how can I have peace with God? The world can't satisfy any of those things. Jesus alone can do that. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. It's only through coming to Jesus to hear him. Have you heard him? Have you heard those words? Words of love. Words reaching out to us through the years. Words that speak to us of the suffering of one who loved you more than anyone else. More than anyone else could. Since for some good man, someone might dare to die. But what good would that do? We're all sinners and we're all in need of a saviour. But Jesus fulfilled every word and he said, I thirst. And all they could give him or offer him was vinegar. John tells us that when therefore Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. What had been finished? Jesus had finished the work of atonement. He'd finished the work that the Father had given him to do. He'd come in obedience, set aside the glory that he had before time was, and he'd drawn near to men that there might be a way of salvation, a way of your sins being forgiven, a way of blessing, and a way of peace with God. And Jesus said, it is finished, because he completed it. All the scriptures and so on that are spoken, how the Messiah must first suffer and then enter into his glory, Jesus had done it and completed it to the Father's satisfaction. And he said, it is finished. And dear friends, it's a great thing if you realise that Jesus' work is finished, it's complete, and there's nothing that you or I need to add to it. It's a work that can save you from your sins for time and for eternity. It says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. These verses of scripture, they're wonderful to come back to remember, because they confirm, give you that assurance and that peace. Just as Jesus said, it is finished. We know that there's nothing else to be done, nothing to be added to that work, only for us to reach out and accept Jesus as our own personal saviour. And then that final word that Jesus said, Jesus cried with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Jesus found life and blessing. He had everything was found for him in the Father. Even though he'd been abandoned, brought under judgment, God's wrath had been poured out on his head, though he'd been made sin, though he'd suffered on our account, Jesus would commit himself nowhere else. Speak somewhere that he did not commit himself to men, because he knew what was in their hearts. Jesus knew what was in God's heart, and he committed himself to the Father. Even though he had to bear that judgment, he knew that the Father's heart was full of love and that he wants you and I to have a blessing, peace with him. And Jesus finished his life just as he carried it out throughout. He committed himself to the Father. Every deed and every thought, every word was committed to the Father. It was pleasing to him. And at the end of his life here, Jesus committed his spirit into the Father's hands. And the wonderful thing is, those are the words that Jesus spoke on the cross. They tell us a little bit about what the glories and the greatness of the Lord Jesus. It tells us about the salvation which is available to us today. And the wonderful thing is, when they went to the tomb on the third day, they found Jesus was no longer in the grave. So it's raised by the glory of the Father, raised for our justification, showing that God was perfectly satisfied with everything that Jesus has done. His shed blood is able to cleanse us from every sin. Seven things that the Lord said. But of course, as John said, there are very many other things. Just finish with one thing, and that's what he said, two things that he said to the disciples. They were fearful. They thought everything had gone wrong. But Jesus said, "Peace be unto you." He came into their presence and assured them that everything had been completed according to God's will, that a way had been made through for you and I to be blessed. And he said to Thomas, "Be not unbelieving, but believing." And the same is true to us today, dear friends, that we're to be believing, trusting in Jesus, trusting in his finished work, remembering his words, because that's what God says. Not a complicated message, it's hear him. Two words. Have we heard Jesus? Have we listened to what he would say to us tonight? Are our lives going to be regulated by what Jesus says? Have I really heard him? Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." May that be what every one of us says to Jesus. Amen.